Why? He said very clearly in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. In other words, if you will make the kingdom of God your priority, you will first priority the righteousness of God and make that number one, then God says He will take care of the rest of life. He will deal with the rest of life. Country Bible Church, we want to be practical. What does it mean to make? And we believe that in order to make God your first priority, you've got to make a commitment to four basic things, or four basic truths in Scripture. Now, first of all, in putting together the puzzle of your life, the first commitment is membership in a church. Every single person needs to make a commitment to be a member, be brought in part of a local body of believers. The second commitment is a commitment to grow spiritually, or a commitment to maturity, that we would make a commitment to the habits of Christian growth. The third commitment is a commitment to ministry, that each and every one of us would make a commitment to serve in ministry. And that's what we want to look at this morning. If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, we see an absolutely fantastic truth that really is simple. It's an ABC kind of truth, and when we apply this truth to our lives, it's going to make a huge difference in what we do. In fact, basically, if you look at the passage starting in verse 7, he says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." You mean people would grumble about serving other people? Yeah, that happens. You know, will I get credit? Will I get praise? Will I get applause? Will I get it back in return? And sometimes we don't, and the tendency is to grumble. And Peter says, don't grumble. Just offer love, offer hospitality, pray for one another. And then in verse 10, he says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, in this passage, we see four basic truths about serving. The first one is this: I have been called by God to a ministry. I have been called by God to a ministry. Now, when I say I'm not talking about Tim Hawks. I'm talking about each person. Every one of us must acknowledge that we've been called by God to a ministry. Notice what he says in verse 10. He says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. That is each and every single believer. You have been called by God to be involved in serving other believers, serving in some type of a ministry. Now, there's no buy. Nobody gets a pass. There's nothing in the passage that says, because I have small children, then I'm exempt from serving. Or because I have an aggressive career that requires a lot of me, then I'm exempt from serving. Or because I don't feel like I'm real good at much, kind of a shy retiring type, then I'm exempt from serving. Every single one of us has been called, and the call doesn't come from an individual. The call comes from Jesus Christ Himself. This is the Word of God. Each person should serve others. Now, oftentimes when it comes to the church, we think that the reason why we're being called to serve, why we're being called to do ministry, is because the church has lots of needs. You know, we need children's teachers, we need small group leaders, we need adult teachers, we need ushers, we need greeters, we need all of these things. And so, really, when you commit to serve, really who you're committing to is an individual, a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or an elder. If that's what you think, you've got a complete misconception of how the church is supposed to operate. The reason why needs exist in the church is because people who have been called by Jesus Christ to serve are not meeting those needs. In other words, God has placed within this church ample people with ample gifting to meet every single need, and every single one of us has been called by God to serve in some type of ministry. Now, that ministry will be different for each person, but each of us has been called. That's why here at Hill Country Bible Church, when you get a call encouraging you to serve, when somebody says, hey, I'd like you to consider serving in a ministry, we always ask people to pray. We say, we want you to pray and ask God, God, do you want me to serve in this particular ministry or in some other one? Because we can be assured from Scripture, from this passage, that every single person has been called by God to do ministry. Which really leads us to our second truth in this passage. And that is that I have been supernaturally gifted for a ministry. Each person has been supernaturally gifted for a ministry. Look at the verse again. It says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. This passage is referring to the spiritual gifts that you have been given by God. In fact, the word gift in this passage comes from a Greek word, which is cognate. It is a related word to the word grace. And you see grace in the second half, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So grace and gift go together. Here's the picture. God has given His grace to the church, and His grace has been given to the church in the form of gifts. In the form of the gifts that He's given to each individual person. And when we minister to one another, every form of God's grace is demonstrated within the church. Now let me show you what those forms look like. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 12. Now keep your finger in 1 Peter because we're going to come back to it. But turn over to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4, we see what that looks like. Paul is speaking here about the church. And he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace. Notice that word grace again, that grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. These gifts are supernatural gifts given to different people within the church to minister to each other. And that's very important. And let me explain to you why. In fact, I'm going to need a little help to explain this. Can I get a couple of you all over there? Come on up. And y'all come on up. Phil, if you'd come right up here and stand here in the middle. Okay, Phil is Jesus Christ in this illustration.
Thank you.
He's not that way every day in real life, is he? Yeah, I'm asking his wife. She didn't give you a complete vote of confidence, but it was pretty close. When Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth, he gathered around him a small group of people, his disciples. And so y'all can kind of represent the disciples. Y'all are much better looking than the disciples were, but we'll go with you. Jesus Christ formed a small group of people, and when Jesus Christ was with his group of people, he provided for them everything they needed. He was God's expression of grace. And so Jesus Christ provided all their needs. Do you think anything ever fell through the cracks when Jesus Christ was with the disciples? Do you think he ever dropped the ball? Do you think he ever forgot anything? Absolutely not. Why? Because he had the perfect gift of administration. He could handle any situation. He handled it perfectly. You think when Jesus Christ was with his disciples, there was ever a need that someone had that went unmet? Absolutely not. Jesus Christ had the divine resources to be able to meet every single need that would arise. Do you think that there was ever a time when someone in the group of disciples felt left out? Absolutely not, because Jesus had the complete gift of God's mercy. And he demonstrated that in his group of disciples. What happened when Jesus left to go back to heaven? In John chapter 13, we read this very, very interesting passage. Jesus is telling his disciples, that's just hours away until I leave to go back to heaven, and I'm going to give you a command which will govern the way the church operates. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love each other in the same way that I have loved you.
In other words, I want each of you to take on the role of being for one another what I was for you when I was here. And so let's take Jesus out of the mix. Now, Jesus is gone. Bye, Phil. Jesus is gone. Now, what happens with the disciples? You see, Ken is given the gift of administration, a supernatural enablement. And just as when Jesus was there, nothing fell through the cracks, now that God's given Ken this gift, Ken exercises that gift in the body so nothing falls through the cracks. In the same way that Jesus had the gift of giving, that is, he was able to meet all needs that would arise, God gives Mindy the gift of giving. And so whenever Mindy's present within the group, she's always coming through supplying the needs that are there. We've got Ken taking care of the administration. We've got Mindy taking care of the giving. And Marjorie has the gift of mercy. She's able to feel in a supernatural way the way Jesus felt, and to come to the aid of people and to help people and to meet them where they're at emotionally. See, the three of them together display the full-orbed grace of God in all the gifts that God has given them. But what happens if Ken, with his gift of administration, decides to leave? Then things begin to fall through the cracks. And as much as we might want things to be the way they would be if Jesus was present, they no longer are because one of the gifts is gone. Suppose Mindy gets tired and she decides that she's going to bail out too. And so there goes our person that has the supernatural capacity for giving. And so there are a lot of needs that are going unmet. And Marjorie, with the gift of mercy, is hanging in there, but she just sees things falling through the cracks and needs are being unmet, and it's just killing her because she's got the gift of mercy, and so she can't take it anymore. She bails out too. She's very dejected about this. You see, what Jesus was saying to his disciples is, in my absence, you guys need to take up where I left off. Every church needs the presence of Jesus and all that Jesus brings. And so God has given every believer a supernatural gift. And when we all exercise our gifts, we see Jesus Christ and the grace of God lived out in our congregation. What happens if all the people that have the gift of administration, if they all say, well, I'm not going to serve, I'm not going to use my gift, things fall through the cracks. In the same way, if everyone that has the gift of mercy, if they quit, if they give up, if they don't exercise their gift, we become a very cool, cold place. We have a supernatural gift that we've received from God, so that when we exercise it, the presence of Jesus Christ, his supernatural manifestation takes place in our congregation. Which leads us to the third principle in this passage. The third principle in this passage is that my ministry is primarily for the benefit of others. My ministry is primarily for the benefit of others. Notice what he says in verse 10. He says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve who? To serve others. Now, we live in a culture that's very service-oriented. And what we mean by that is we evaluate everything that takes place on how well the service happens on my behalf, how well I'm being served. I remember when I first traveled to Andre's country in Kazakhstan there, and I began to look around, and at that time, there wasn't any Western business there, and there weren't any signs. Nobody bothered to put any signs up because who cares about the customer? You want to know where to go or what to do? You're on your own. You figure that out yourself. There's nothing like standing in the airport in Moscow flying domestic flights and not even being able to tell when a flight leaves, when it arrives. Anything about it. Why? Because it didn't matter. They're not there to serve you. Here in the United States, we frequent restaurants that take care of us, and we go to places that service us well. And if they don't, we don't go back. The same thing can be true when we come to church. We begin to think, well, you know, I'm going to attend a church that does what I want them to do with my kids and provides the kind of atmosphere that I enjoy and the worship style that makes me happy. And I want my Sunday school teacher to really meet my needs. And when I call somebody on the phone, I expect them to be there. And if that doesn't happen, then I'm moving on. I'm leaving. service mentality, which is exactly opposite of what Jesus said our attitude ought to be. In living for others, Mark 10:45, Jesus Christ said, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And our responsibility in ministry is not to just serve ourselves, but to serve other people. How many people teach because they just love to teach? It gives them a rush. They like to be up in front of people. They like to show their knowledge. Are they there because they're serving others? How many people jump into a child Sunday school class because, boy, I really need to because it's my kids in there and I need to take care of my own, and so I better go in there? Well, if my kid's not in there, why would I bother to go in there? It's not helping me. That attitude is completely opposite of the attitude of Scripture. Scripture says we serve others, not simply to get our own needs met or to serve ourselves. We're here to serve others. I think that's most illustrated in the principle that Jesus said, basic ABC principle, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We get more when we're doing something for someone else than when somebody's doing something for us. I see this demonstrated in my kids around Christmas time. You know, before my kids were old enough to purchase gifts for their brothers and sisters and grandparents and so forth, you know, at Christmas time everything was about what were they going to get. But once my oldest daughter started giving gifts, you know when I saw the real excitement in her? The real excitement in my daughter came when I started to watch her buy a present and give it to her brother. And just sit there with her mouth gaping and her eyes wide open watching him unwrap the present. And she was so excited to be able to give something and to see his reaction and to please him. And God says that when we serve other people, we get more than when we sit back and ask people to serve us. The fourth principle is that I am accountable to serve in a ministry. I am accountable to serve in a ministry. In verse 10, he says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." The word faithful indicates that we have a responsibility that God is expecting us to carry out. The word administering here was a word that was used of a household steward. A household steward was someone who was put in charge to manage the estate or the affairs of a wealthy person. Now, in managing the estate or the affairs of a wealthy person, the stuff did not belong to the steward. He was simply there to make sure that the resources were allocated properly, and he was evaluated by the master of the household based on his ability to allocate the resources. In the same way, we're being told that we have been given a supernatural gift, and God is going to hold us accountable for how well we allocate that gift, the resources of God's supernatural grace, and whether we use them effectively to serve other people. You know, I have a feeling that when we stand before God, that many of the things that we believe are important in life are not even going to come up on the final evaluation. When you stand before God, and He looks at your life and examines it as a believer, what did you do for me? What did you do for the kingdom? What did you do of value? He's going to be looking at whether you used your gift, that grace that was given, whether you used that to serve other people, whether you involved yourself in a ministry, or whether you simply sat back and folded your hands. Now, at Hill Country Bible Church, we're committed to help you plug in and serve. You know, some places are content to fill the room up with people and have a good time singing and talk about, you know, that we're together in church. But we're not satisfied with that. You know what we're looking forward to? We're looking forward to the day when each of you stand in the presence of Jesus Christ and He looks you in the eye and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And myself and the elders of Hill Country will not be satisfied with anything less for each and every member of Hill Country Bible Church. And so we constantly are encouraging you and challenging you and trying to get you to take the steps of commitment which will yield a benefit in your life where when you stand before Christ, He will be pleased with you. And one of the things that we want to clearly communicate to you is if you're not using your gift to serve people, then you're not going to be pleasing to God in this area. You need to be involved in some type of ministry where you're actually using your gift to serve the people in the body of Christ. And so we call you to do that because we love you. And we want to see you be all that you can be for Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest things is knowing that you're involved in the game. I remember the first softball team I played on when I was a kid. Growing up in Michigan, everything was fast-pitch softball, and I used to love to watch Martin Covell. This guy was a pitcher, and he could pitch that windmill softball. It'd come off his hip so fast, and I'd sit there wishing, boy, I wish I could be Martin Covell. Man, that guy is so good. He's so cool. Well, not only couldn't I pitch, I couldn't hit, and I couldn't catch. And so as a little kid, I rode the pine. And every once in a while, if we were way, 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 way ahead, and the other team had no left-handed batters, they would put me out in right field. And I remember sitting there on the bench just wishing I had something to offer to the team. I wish I could do something. You know, even if I could just bunt. Yeah, I just wish I could bunt. So I could give something, so I could be part of this, so I could get in the game. And you know what? In the Christian life, God has given you a special ability to get in the game. That's a blessing. When you get in the game for Jesus Christ, He's going to be pleased with you, and you're going to grow, and people are going to be ministered to. God's going to say, well done. Well done. You used what I gave you to use. Now look at verse 11. In verse 11, he points to the priority of using your gift. He says in verse 11, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If your gifting, if your service, if your ministry involves communication, teaching, discipling, leading small groups, if you're working with children, if you're counseling, if that's what your ministry involves, whatever comes out of your mouth is so important that you should speak as if you're speaking on behalf of God. Which means that if a friend comes to you for advice, you need to make sure that your advice more reflects the good book than red book, or else you're leading them in the wrong direction. Speaking the very words of God. This is important. God needs to communicate through those who have been gifted with speaking. And if that's your gifting, if that's your ministry, speak on behalf of God. Notice in the second part of the verse, he says, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides. God gives us supernatural strength so that if we serve using gifts of administration, using gifts of mercy, using gifts of giving, using gifts of leadership, in whatever capacity, God says, I'm going to give you supernatural strength, and if you'll tap into me and use my strength, I will provide all that you need. Why? So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. See, God wants to glorify Himself by people looking at Hill Country Bible Church and seeing Jesus Christ. Seeing all the incredible glory and gifting, compassion and truth, strength and power and leadership. All those things are in Christ. God wants to gain glory by all of us using our gifts so all of that gets displayed to one another and to this community. What an incredible concept. The body of Jesus Christ. That's why we take a Sunday off like we did today to have a ministry showcase. And for those of you who came a little early, you were able to attend our ministry showcase. It's taking place in our multi-purpose center. Right outside these doors, if you walk into that building, we've got all of our ministries displayed there. Places for you to plug in and serve. At the conclusion of the service, we're going to have it open for another 30 minutes. We would love to have you go over, walk through those booths, look at all the opportunities for you to serve. And we're challenging you during this month of prayer commitment that during the month you would ask the question, what is my gift? Where should I be serving? You say, well, I've never done it before. I don't know if God can use me. Well, there's a story in the Old Testament where God spoke through a donkey to reveal His will to one of His prophets. If God can use a donkey, God can use Tim Hawks, God can certainly use you. And we'd love to see that happen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we just thank You that You've given us the opportunity to get in the game. An opportunity to do something that makes an impact on eternity. Father, I pray for the person here that just doesn't believe that You would ever use them. I pray that you would open their eyes, see how your supernatural power can work through them. I pray for those whose lives are so entangled with sin and selfishness that this thought is even offensive to them. Father, that you would begin to liberate their hearts, to free them from those entanglements, and to give them the freedom to enjoy the beauty of serving. Father, thank you for challenging us and giving us an opportunity to grow, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.